live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The Todd Herman Show. It is also the day the Lord has made, an opportunity for us to use our God-given intelligence and compassion to balance looking skeptically at what we've been told. We told you yesterday in the program, Stanford University indicates the virus is probably less deadly than the flu, but also our compassion, because there have been people truly harmed by this virus. I'm also well aware of the fact that Jay Inslee one time used the word devilish. He did that right here. He's going to do it. Jay Inslee, never let a good crisis go to waste.
We as leaders did not understand or appreciate how far this had spread in our community, and we still don't.
We got to understand, this is a devilish virus.
He said, I don't have any wires. He just caught a bus, and he just escaped.
What we were concerned about has come to fruition and come right away. Isolation or quarantine does not effectively work.
No, it doesn't effectively work. And in fact, the churches have been quarantined. Not only is Sideshow Bob out using what I consider to be thuggish, lawless tactics to attack our friend at Power Alley Fitness, we shared that with you yesterday, shutting down businesses. Houses of worship have been also, in my judgment, attacked. So lots of churches are really aching to get back into live worship. And Pastor Jack Hibbs joins us. He's the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. That's in Southern California. You've probably heard his teachings if you've been around the international world at all, Europe, Middle East, Australia, Africa, Hawaiian Islands. And his wife, Lisa, they've been married for 30 years. They live in Southern California. And Pastor Hibbs joins us now on the Todd Herman Show. Jack, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks a lot.
You are calling for churches, I think, to do something that might be wildly unpopular in Western Washington, because sadly, Western Washington is one of the least churched areas in the world, and there's a bit of an anti-church sentiment up here. So tell folks what you're asking churches to do.
Yeah, you're exactly right, by the way, regarding the western side of Washington. You well know that. So here's what we're doing, Todd, is that, now, granted, I'm speaking from California now, which we have a governor who, when we petitioned him, can you give us guidance? Can you give us direction on what you're going to declare regarding the church? Now, a little bit of background. Remember, President Trump asked us all to just stand down for 15 days. Then he came back, and Trump again said, we need another 15 days to flatten this curve. And we all complied with that. We all obeyed that. And then at that point, the president handed authority over to the governors. And so our governor immediately began to produce his plan of getting back online as a state. You got to remember, California was slightly affected, and I mean slightly. We have 40 million people in this state, and about 3,000, although that number's now decreasing. We had 3,000 deaths but due to COVID, but that number is even going down now with greater research. That said, Todd, we couldn't get an answer from our governor. He wouldn't say when we were going to be allowed to get back together. And so after much contemplation, patience, and waiting, and a lot of consultation with legal representation, it became clear to us that a time to start had arrived. And that's going to be May 31st. And Todd, that's just our church. I didn't send out some edict saying you've got to do this, but I did share on my Facebook page, hey, Christians, we're opening up on the 31st. You do as your dictates of your heart, but how cool would it be if we happened to all start on the same day? And I cited what Ben Franklin had said regarding the revolution. He said, after we signed this declaration, either we're all going to hang separately or we're going to hang together, but it's way more encouraging to hang together. And so that's what's happened. We've got over 3,000 churches now in California that have signed on to open up their doors in unison on May 31st.
No, I love it. I love it. And the church has a history, and it must continue to have a history of sometimes standing in opposition to government authorities, because the church, of course, serves a higher authority. We know that. But also because there is a tension, particularly now, Pastor Hibbs, and I think Jack Hibbs joins us, founder and senior pastor of the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills Southern California Church. I think now there's ever more pressure on the churches that I see, for instance, efforts to, in fact, disappear people from public service if they are if they are Christians. There's been efforts, for instance, in Massachusetts. They wanted to effectively seize the power of the churches by having citizens' bodies take over decisions on how the churches invest their monies and how they treat their properties. And I've heard some people on the left side of the political spectrum say, look, if you are a practicing Catholic or practicing strict observant Christian, you simply can't serve on the Supreme Court. I think that people look at what's going on now with COVID-19 and the shutdown that you so eloquently explained. I think Christians have reason to have their antenna up and to say, look, is the government going to be excited to give back this power they've taken? So I applaud the May 31st thing, but do you think this is part of a bigger picture in society? Do you think the tension is becoming more pronounced top down on top of the churches?
Yeah, well said. You're exactly correct. And the fact that, you know, there's facts that back up what you just said. There is an absolute mission, if I want to use a Christian type term, to abolish or to erase the opportunity for a Christian worldview to be spoken into the public square. Great pushback. Number one, how did we get here? Well, we got here because we've just invested in the last 50 years of our education system being void of our nation's founding principles and founding fathers, for that matter, beginning with William Bradford and the Pilgrims. So I wonder how many students, both in elementary school and beyond, even into college, Todd, how many of them have actually taken 3 minutes to read the Mayflower Compact? I mean, that's one of our birth certificates as a nation. We are now reaping from a system that has expelled God from school. We've expelled them from our public square, and we think that we can go it without him, which is what the nations of the world have done. The American experience is unlike any other nation on earth, where our founders, some of them deist, some of them true followers of Christianity, and some of them just went along because they even said, this is the best way to live, even though I'm not a believer. That foundation was absolutely essential to creating the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Sadly, Todd, you're living in an area where you're at where the church has become a joke. And I think the church has really contributed to that joke. The church has in many ways become a playground, and we haven't engaged the culture. We haven't given arguments as to why it's wrong to do this or other. And people think we're a bunch of religious kooks, when in reality, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson said that there is no way that we could exist as a nation or have been brought about as a nation without the principles of Christianity.
Well, I mean, it's a fascinating topic, Pastor, to expand into this, in Western Washington. And it's also true in the West Coast. You know, we have new religious sacraments. I mean, we have the act now of little children being born now not in the image of God, but in the image of Big Pharma and Planned Parenthood, and having their bodies, you know, mutilated chemically and surgically, sometimes without parental permission. That's a sacrament up here. And I don't know if you know this. You know, speaking of these anti-Christian events, Jack Hibbs is with us, founder of the senior pastor, and senior pastor of the Calvary Church in Chino Hills. That we passed up here, they shoved down during the pandemic, Pastor. They shoved down, perhaps second only to California, in terms of perversity of a sex ed curricula that they shoved down the throats of the voters up here. Pastor, the day that passed out of the legislature, at 11,000-1 calls against it, a satanic church went and celebrated on the steps of the Washington State House. They celebrated the passage of that bill, which contains, I mean, the chasing of the, I mean, I'm it's silly for me to ever try to quote you know, chapter and verse with someone who's forgotten more about it than Oliver. No, but I'm sorry. I thought of Daniel and the harlot of the world as I saw this go on. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that they're taking this opportunity to take away our opportunities to worship.
Yeah, you know, well said again. So let's say someone's listening right now, Todd, and they're not a Christian. They have no faith, or they have whatever. Consider this. What Todd just said a moment ago is exactly true. Not only true, the Bible, and here's why it's true. The Bible says that not only is that something that is prone to human nature to do such things, because human nature is fallen, but Jesus said, the days that will be prior to my return and to the judgment of the earth, there will be these things arising. There's going to be pandemics in the earth that have incurable diseases, earthquakes in diverse places in great magnitude. There's going to be famine that will be engineered not by lack of water, but actually political famines where people will be starved because of certain particular controlling views. All of these things, Jesus, in Matthew 24, he went down a list of these things like a roadmap. And when you talk about the attitude of saying, we know better as humans, we're going to take what is so basic and we're going to re-engineer that. We're going to make boys into girls, girls into boys, and some of them into nothing. And it is this thing, and Todd, I'm going to sound like a freakish dude right now and maybe even a dinosaur, but it's wild to study, which is part of my job, is to study ancient religions. And when you go back and you study Babylonianism and Zoroastrianism, and you study the worship of the pagan Greek and Babylonian gods, child mutilation was a great part of this type of worship. And here we are today, all refined, you know, with our electric cars and our amazing technologies and our cloud that helps us with our computers, and we're still doing the same thing.
Right, right. And it's now it's rebirthed as, of course, science. And so we've now got this science, Pastor, that is remarkable. This comes out of Stanford University. You're in Southern California. This is Northern California. This came out this morning. Stanford University has released data analysis that indicates that COVID-19 may be less dangerous than the flu. Comes out of Stanford University, and still the churches are shut down. So May 31st, you are opening, you say 3,000 churches are opening. And I would say this, you know, speaking politically, to come out of the divine into the gross world of politics, is that if enough churches do this, it will be very, very difficult for them to pick a target. And it will be very, very difficult for them to do that. And if enough people are impacted, if enough churches open up and enough, and by the way, I don't think it should just be churches. I know you and I are talking as Christians who believe in this creed and this faith, and this is who we are. And I'm sure that we share the same creed. But I think other, you know, houses of worship should join in this. We all are protected by the First Amendment. Open up. If they do this all at once, Pastor, and enough people experience seeing bureaucrats come to their church and say, you can't worship God Almighty. And they experience and they see the pieces of paper addressed to their congregation. You stand in defiance of the orders of either, in your case, Governor Newsom or up here, Sleepy Jay Inslee. You stand in defiance of these people. Then I think we have true traction because people can say it has now happened to me, right? Personally. So May 31st is, I know you're not organizing this. You said we're doing it. It'd be nice if you join us. Now, that said, are there places that people can go to network, where church leaders can go to network, so they know that they're doing this all at the same time and in the same way?
Yeah, listen, this I tell you, this is great. Number one, we took this stand. I made the decision on April 26th, but I didn't reveal that until a week later. When we made that announcement, Todd, there was such an audience that I didn't plan on statewide. Pastors jumped onto that date. I sent out a video that went viral, and I sent it out to pastors, and I said, we're going to open up this day. It sure be nice if you joined us, but God bless you whenever you do worship, whenever you do open up. Well, we didn't anticipate the incredible response. That action, Todd, I can't cross any lines right now, maybe until Thursday night, Friday morning, but there's news coming to you, Todd. Thursday or Friday, our position has caught the eye of the Department of Justice. We know this. We've been informed of this.
Okay.
We have a meeting Thursday morning conference with the Department of Justice. That said, I've been briefed that that meeting is going to stand 100% with our announcement to open up on 31st, and that it is all based, the Department of Justice will announce that it's in the First Amendment. The First Amendment guarantees the freedom of assembly and worship for a church. And let's, you're right, let's expand it. This is America, for crying out loud. Synagogues and mosques. Hey, look, our Constitution allows the Satanists to gather together. Here's the point. You're going to hear Barr say that it's written to the house of worship, not Costco and not Walmart. They're enjoying greater freedoms right now, based on the First Amendment, than the church in America is, for which it was written for. And so we've got huge support going public this week for the Department of Justice to call churches to gather to worship. This is unprecedented. We've never heard this displayed or said before in our nation. But of course, we've never been in a situation like this before. This is the first time in American history where churches willingly shuttered their doors for a public health emergency. But now that that emergency, as you said, is evaporating, Stanford's one of many. Johns Hopkins University, Northwestern University, MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. They are all declaring, we overreacted. This thing is far less dangerous than flu. We're going to lose more people from flus that are unidentified in the news media today versus COVID. Kentucky is enjoying their least flu death season, even with the COVID numbers included.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And what we've observed, Pastor, is it's also remarkable in terms of the lie. So we've gone now back from the political. I want to go a little bit back into the divine. And so my listeners aren't Christian. Look, it'd be great if you'd join us, but I think that this should cross paths into the political. Mm-hmm. That is, there's an enormity of a lie that is, you know, continuing to perpetrate, I think, society, and it's really aimed at Christians. And that is that I heard a pastor say, we believe that God is more powerful than a virus. And then that pastor died from COVID-19. And a lot of jackals on social media came and said, oh, well, God is more powerful. He killed you. Or I guess that shows you God's not more powerful than a virus. And I think this goes to one of a canard that people who hate the church throw at us. And this is, as we close this out, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Jack Hibbs is with us, senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. I don't want to say the left, because I think it's status forces. They want to say to us, Pastor, that Christians are perfect, that we say we're perfect people, that because we follow the word, we're perfect people, or because we say we think God is more powerful than a virus, that means that we think it can't kill us. Are you familiar with any Christians who think that they can't die from a disease?
Listen, not only do Christians die, non-Christians die. Newsflash, we're all going to die. Todd, you're aware, maybe not, I think you are. You've got your finger on this pulse. There was a political power broker recently who said, we are not going to lift any restrictions until we have 14 days of no death. That's the issue. Nobody wants to die.
Yeah.
Die of what? Now we've got people that we know. This is an actual fact, and it's going to be coming out more and more, where people died. They were quickly labeled. There was a tag put on their toe, COVID. And now it comes out that they died of a heart attack. They died of diabetes. They died of some other issue. And these numbers are being walked back. Let's go to the punchline. Nobody wants to talk about death. The Christian is the only one that's got the answer to death. And let's be honest, if you're going to take that logic that a Christian cannot die of COVID, well, then how do you handle this? I happen to drive a Ford Expedition. And I could say, oh, you know what? This issue, this never touched me. That's so stupid, because I could die in a car crash today in my Ford vehicle. The point is, Christians and non-Christians are going to die from COVID or slipping on a banana peel or falling off of the end of the cliff. And no one cites how ridiculous that is, or, you know, look, this guy believed in God, but the cliff killed him. This is dumb. That logic wouldn't fly in a freshman class in college.
Right. Exactly right. And yet these are the canards that the statists in our society want to paint upon us. And then people who don't listen to you or me or to get any view of faith outside of the canard that's delivered by what I refer to as the uniculture. The uniculture is one part scientism, one part celebism, and one part statism. People who can't escape the uniculture somehow think that you and I and all of us are imbued with this idea that if we pray extra hard, that we'll never have a hardship, that we'll never face financial hardships, that our families will be perfect, we'll never make a mistake in our marriage, we'll never make a mistake as parents. It's just one of the battles that we have to fight when we're fighting this uniculture. So, Jack, I want to thank you for joining us, Pastor. I would love to come down to the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Love to hear you preach in person. And we just thank you for joining the Todd Herman Show. I hope I will call for it. I want to see Washington State churches open up, invite people in on the 31st of this month, and let's make that happen. All right. Thank you, Jack.
Todd,
thanks for coming on the Todd Herman Show.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and look at normalizing abnormality. It's one of our big picture segments. It's one of the things that's going on that may make you feel uneasy. Normalizing abnormality, such as in the NFL. They're going to normalize abnormality. How come I can't say that? Abnormality. That's next on the Todd Herman Show. Show. So yesterday I lost at least two friends. And these are the people who chose to tell me we're all done being friends. It's because of a blog piece I wrote that says I do not trust, or I question the motivation of the Washington State media when it comes to coronavirus. I do question the motivation. So I wrote this piece and it has more links to more data on the coronavirus than has ever appeared in Washington State media. It's the context we talk about on the show. It's the context of the insanity of shutting the state down for 1,000 deaths of human beings who were loved and are going to be missed forever. All right. Don't wish this on anybody. But when you remove the people above the age of 72, and Dory did the math on this on a tweet that he has gone enormously viral, you're talking about 172 people below the age of 72 who've lost their lives in Washington State in connection with this virus, because most of those people had underlying health conditions already. So for young people, this virus is less deadly than the flu by far in Washington State, and the economy is destroyed and it's going to have to be rebuilt. So I lost two friends. And they were the people who, to their credit, were kind enough to, one sent me a direct message on Twitter, the other sent me an email, and just said, hey, I just can't be friends with you. If you want to read this blog and you want to see why I've lost these friendships and probably more, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll also find in that just huge, massive piles of data. That, for instance, kids are not at risk for this. They're simply not at risk for this. That people who test positive, most people have 95 to 98% of people who test positive, they never know they had it. They're completely asymptomatic. The data on the older people and why this is a disease that is very, very serious for older people, particularly with underlying health conditions. It goes through the gambit of things that the Washington State media has refused to share with people and across the board, the Washington State news media. And I also share in this piece a theory I have. These are not my words. The Panic of the Elite is a great, great article that I link to in this, where the elites, the smart people, like the folks who run the Seattle Times and run newsrooms around Washington State, they're very smart, much smarter than us. So they, because they're elites, they think, man, we got to scare the little people into doing the right thing. But that article you can read indicates this is not the case. In the San Francisco fire, in the big Alaska earthquake, the Cajun Navy. Right. These are people who decided, hey, there's laws against us being the Cajun Navy, but we don't care. we're going to go rescue people. They did the right thing because they're those sort of human beings. So I'd love you to read this, and I'd love you to pass it on and share it with your friends because of the data that is embedded in this blog. So text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. We're just talking with this pastor about, I mean, we went through a range of things. Sometimes you just groove with someone when you're interviewing them. And I was going to talk with you today about the normalizing of abnormality. If you feel nervous like I do about the government ever being willing to put the genie back in the bottle, there's a good reason for that. Because you're watching the normalization of abnormality. I had a debate yesterday with some Beltway types on Facebook. And I made the mistake of using my personal Facebook page. I almost never use it. But I was so outraged at something a Beltway national political director, just political guy through and through, all he's ever done is politics. All he will ever do is politics. Calling doctors who disagree with Fauci, calling them quacks. Oh, they're quacks. Fauci's got it all figured out. They're quacks. And I responded in this thread by talking about the uniculture that we've been talking about, the uniculture that is pushing abnormality. Fauci is pushing an extended lockdown. That's why he's called Dr. Lockdown to me. And in these lockdowns, you're going to see a compressed timeline. Let me compare it this way. This is what I said on Facebook. All of this looks too familiar for me. So when let me be clear, the virus is real. People get sick. It came from China. It's a virus and it's scary. Got it? And the response to this is 10,000 times scarier than the virus. 10,000 times. Because what I compared in this Facebook page, was this, that the global warming alarmist, we know the drill. It was the new ice age. Then it was, acid rain. Then it was global warming. Now it's climate change. But all their errors, every single one of their errors always makes it look like the past was cooler and our present is hotter. All their errors go the same direction. All the errors are mistakes that the uniculturalists made. And the technocrats made in regard to the coronavirus, all of them made it seem worse. 100% of them. There was not an underestimation in the bunch. And it's not just made it look worse. It made it look 10 orders of magnitude worse than it has ever turned out to be. And by the way, the numbers continue to shrink in terms of death rate. I shared with you this piece, this Stanford piece that suggests that this is overall going to be less deadly than the flu. Overall, not just for young people. I mean, the death rates for people below the age of 70, they're incredibly small. So I shared that the global warming, right, we got to act now. The earth is going to burn. The polar bears are going to die. The ice caps will be gone. San Francisco will be underwater. Los Angeles will be gone. Hawaii would disappear. And it's not happened. And it's not going to happen. So I look at this in this condensed time frame, and I see people who are uniculturalists, technocrats, leftists, the media, you know, the uniculturalists, saying, we got to stay locked down. We've got to ruin the economy further. We can't let the kids go back to school. We need to wear these stupid distancers, these pool noodles on our head. You've seen these, right? There are devices being built. I have a friend of mine who's making huge money selling decals. Coronavirus social distancing decals. He can't go through his day without several TV cameras showing up to talk about the decals Rob is selling. And all of it is this condensed time frame where the global warming people, I think they've looked at this and said, wow, we should have been a lot more aggressive. And we're seeing abnormality normalized. I was reading the guidelines for youth football. For high school football, no more than 5 kids at a time. If you don't play football, there's 11 people on the field for each team, so 22 total people. No more than 5 at a time. Have to remain socially distanced. Cannot share the football. Cannot have locker rooms. Cannot have a locker room. Cannot go change their clothes. cannot make physical contact for this next football season for a virus that is legitimately no threat to them. Legitimately not a threat. There's not an instance recorded of a kid giving coronavirus to a parent. So how would it be that a kid gives it to a football coach on a field, in the sun, outside, with wind? It's the normalizing of abnormality. That's what we're seeing. And it is on a hyper-local scale. Look at the rush in Washington State. You had this guy who was let out of prison, let out of confinement because of coronavirus. Then he's accused of attacking a woman on a trail. Is it normal that you take a broad swath of violent offenders and you let them out just because there's a flu? Because for men and women their age, this is just as dangerous or maybe less dangerous than the flu. Is that normal? But we're treating it as normal. I haven't seen a skeptical piece from the media yet saying, why are we letting these people? I take that back. The Tri-Cities. There was in the Tri-Cities, in the Yakima Herald, there was a great report saying, oh, by the way, here's some of the people we're letting out. Yes, that was a great piece. Because it was saying, these aren't nonviolent people. The reason they're in jail now or prison now was nonviolent, but they have assaults, they have child molestation, they have rapes, they have robberies, they have assault with a deadly weapon on the records. So this guy's let out. He is now accused of attacking a woman on a hiking trail, and that's the one we know about. And you know there's more. Is that normal? But it's being treated as legitimate and normal. Is it normal to crush a 72-year-old barber because he wants to give haircuts? Nope, but it's being treated as normal, as understandable. Of course we're doing this. The man is making his own decision to work, and we're going to treat it as normal. Then there's this. The Seattle City Council is seizing private property. Just what they're doing. When they're saying you can stay in someone's home and not pay rent, and you don't have to leave, and maybe one day you have to pay it back, but not right now, and that person has to continue to pay their mortgage, that's not normal. That's not normal in American society that the government seizes private property on behalf of someone else. No one's questioning it. You know, I've heard Dory and Jason question it. I don't see the media saying, wow, okay, so what about the landlord? What about the property owner or the homeowner who's letting someone live there? Now they're expanding this abnormality. Because of COVID, the Seattle City Council wants to listen very closely to this. They want to prevent you from removing homeless camps on your property. You think this is an aberration? Go talk to people in Squim, where there are huge homeless camps that have established themselves with little lawyers, UW-trained lawyers, there to say, here's how we're going to seize this land. And guess what? It worked. They have seized land. Hundreds of people. So now in Seattle, they want to limit your ability to get homeless camps off your private property. And one of Mayor Jenny's deputy mayors, because of course she needs two so she can continue to not do her job, even Mike Fong thinks this is a bad idea.
It's not a homelessness issue. It is really the main issue. It's a drug and mental health issue. The majority of the reason why the folks are out in the street.
We have a lot of low-income senior citizens living in this neighborhood, and they're afraid to walk the street.
It's going to allow unauthorized encampment, not only in the CID, but it's going to spread throughout the entire city of Seattle. Any public park, any public area, and even private property, that is absolutely crazy. This legislation, I think it's the beginning of allowing any type of camping anywhere in the city. When we know that lawlessness is available, and you could put up your tent anywhere, guess what's going to happen? They're going to put up their tent anywhere.
Do you know how bad it is when someone who works for Mayor Jenny, a person in good standing within the Seattle political machine, uses the word lawlessness? That's how bad this is. And yet, no alarm bells ringing. So the Seattle Times will write an editorial saying we need to stop the war on business. Great. It's a great editorial. Every now and then the Times gets something right. This is the seizing of private property by bands of homeless street people. And it's not me saying it. I think this is a King 5 piece. It is a King 5 piece. And I appreciate them reporting on this and calling attention to it. But how about a united front against this normalizing of abnormality? Like the NFL is doing. The NFL says, we're going to give teams who hire African-American coaches, we're going to give them extra draft picks. Now, they've kind of walked this back because racism and organized racism, that's abnormal in our society, thank God. So they were going to employ racism in order to do away with racism. And it's being treated as normal. So they sort of did have to walk that back because I think a lot of black coaches were saying, yeah, maybe that's not the way I want my career to advance. Come back on the Todd Herman Show. Just one more thing on the normalizing of abnormality. You might want to read very, very closely the new Apple update that's coming to your phone. You might want to look at the word coronavirus in it. It's OS 13.5. I can't even believe these words are leaving my mouth. I'm telling you, you're going to have to look at your Apple phone to see if it's going to involve and just shove down your throat. A little contact tracing for you. Can't believe the words are leaving my mouth. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Again, somebody sent me a note. We're say the text line slower. 800-465-8770. Text Todd, T-O-D-D to that. You can read this article that is absolutely packed with the data that the Western Washington media will not tell you, including the data that Jay Inslee has been lying about the death rates from COVID-19, lying by 13%. So the other day when he celebrated, and he did celebrate, sorry, he did, the 1,000th death due to coronavirus, it was nowhere near that. Yeah, it was actually the 870th. So you can read that, text Todd, T-U-D-D, to 800-465-8770. Share that with your friends. You can see why I lost at least two friends over this. Okay, here we go. Back to conspiracy radio. From the wild right-wing rag out of San Francisco, California, called ZDNet. ZDNet is reporting that the new, and I've seen this is now being shared on Facebook. People are taking screenshots of this. The new 13.5 update from Apple, which right now you can ignore. They're going to send it to you. You can refuse to install it. I always wait to install Apple updates because it always screws something up. This time, if you don't want this, it's eventually going to force itself down on your phone. Yeah, it comes with some coronavirus features. One is facial recognition in case you're wearing a mask. Well, that's what's wrong with that? Could people wear masks? Yeah, it's a good idea to make sure that facial recognition can recognize your eyeball, your nose, etc. in a crowd. We want that. We want the police and intelligence, etc., to be able to recognize us everywhere at any time for any reason they choose. Jay Inslee has installed a bunch of facial recognition cameras during, and this is being celebrated. Wall Street Journal. Others have said, it sets the pace for the nation. I don't remember signing up for this. I don't know if you remember signing up for this. Sorry, I'm not into the surveillance state. Sorry. I know that makes me weird. I should go live on a mountaintop in Idaho. Oh, wait. But there's more. There's a new feature, they call it. It's the COVID exposure notification feature in iOS 13.5. And it's going to come from Google, too. This is going to be in all the smartphones. All it does is it builds a way for the government to build contact tracing applications on top of this software. But don't worry. Don't worry. Unless you install one of the government contact tracing applications on your phone, don't worry. It's going to be turned off for now until they decide to turn it on. Until the government says this is compulsory. And then we can go ahead and track Oh, it's, no, it's just for a disease. It's just for a virus that is no threat to 99% of us in any serious medical sense. That in the state of Washington has taken 870 lives. And we're putting this in smartphones, all of them. But don't worry, unless you install Jay Inslee's application, it remains off. Right. Just like Amazon was never recording your conversations. And Google was never recording your conversations. No. And they're taking every effort to maintain your anonymity. I don't want to comply. I think there's a good chance that I'm putting my phone in one of those little Faraday cage pockets when I go out. Sorry, I know. I'm just a weirdo. Sorry for telling the truth. Todd Herman Show continues.